Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth C. Pope Zaza Payne. Hello, sir.
Seth C. Jose Altuve is going to be the best left fielder Ted Williams.
I'm out.
That's my firm resolution. Ted Williams is going to look like a stupid schmuck after all this. He'll have to lean on his WAR record to gain any kind of notoriety or prominence in history.
I would say that was as significant a spring training game just in terms of two occurrences as we've had in a long, long time. Lance McCullers pitching a scoreless first yesterday. Wasn't dominant or anything like that, but a scoreless inning, that was good.
As an homage to his home city of Tampa, he was an opener. He was an opening pitcher, same way the Rays like to use.
That's right. Yes. He pitched one inning, and then Spencer Arrighetti came in. It's funny, when you bring in Lance McCullers or you start him and he pitches one inning, then Spencer Arrighetti comes in and pitches like four innings in a spring training game. It feels like he pitched like a ten inning game in March. You know what I mean?
It feels like Lance did or Arrighetti?
No, it feels like Spencer Arrighetti after you get a one inning opener. Like Spencer Arrighetti throws like the next three or four, and you're like, God, this guy's a horse. Wow.
You know what? Maybe since Lance really doesn't like the notion of being a closer or a reliever, maybe they can fool him into being an opener. You know, just tell him, hey, this is how we're going to start you off. You know, nice and slow and easy, and we'll work into it. Don't worry. And then when he asks about it in a few weeks, don't worry. We got a plan.
September rolls around. He's still throwing two innings to open games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, man. You're good. The Altuve thing that you alluded to, I want to start there. This was Jose Altuve. What?
I don't want to start my day off on this.
Well, we're gonna get to it in this segment. Yeah,
we are compelled to.
Yes, yeah.
For those of you who missed it, it's another instance in a very small sample size of Jose Altuve left field.
Playing left field like a little leaguer. Like and he had made a nice catch earlier in the game. And I'm like, well, that was pretty good. It was a running catch. It wasn't like a diving, sliding catch. It was like a running catch into the alley. That was a nice major league play. I don't know how many stars you get. I'll leave that to Callis and Blum to tell us how many stars you get for this sort of catch.
What was the catch probability?
And I love Callis and Blum, but I hate the there was a five star catch. Yes,
and all that. Yeah.
I hate that. But then mere innings later, Jose Altuve with a runner on third getting ready to tag up, gets a ball hit to him in left field, and here we go.
Altuve is going to have his arm tested, but before he can make the throw, he drops that fly ball. So they were going to tag up on Altuve, and we were going to get a chance to see Altuve try to throw a runner out at home. Instead, he dropped the fly ball. That'll be the Astros' second error of the inning. And with the pitch count building on Spencer Arrighetti, he might not stay in this game very long. I think that's Josh Miller or Joe Espada.
We got what we need, Ben. We got what we need out of that.
The commissioner's happy with plays like that because it speeds the game along, you know.
Sure.
Throwing home and everything, especially with his arm. That might take a while.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah.
To say that he dropped it is actually like an insult to people who actually drop fly balls. It like bounced off of him. it bounced off his glove and rolled into foul territory.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I'm out on this, Seth. I am out on Altuve in left field.
Sean, let me tell you a little story about a fellow named Scott Hatteberg. For those of you who've seen Moneyball, catcher that they moved to first base because they wanted his bat. It was all the rage in Oakland those days to just say, hey, whatever we can get out of this guy, obviously. And Scott Hatteberg was a miserable mess at first base for pretty much the whole first half season that he was in there. Over time, he figured it out. So I guess the difference would be that back then, Oakland was a retching mess of a franchise that had no designs on winning the World Series, just wanted to be a competitive baseball team for as little money as possible. And they made do with Scott Hatteberg as a horrendous first baseman.
We're a good team.
But I don't know if a team that's got championship aspirations can. I don't know if I have it in me to handle. Really, once a week now, he's making an egregious error in left
field. Yeah, it's egregious. It's egregious. And it whether it's listed as an error or you watch and you go, a major leaguer should make that play. That was an error yesterday. The other one from this weekend was just he mistimes his jump. It bounces off the wall. And then he stands there and just doesn't do anything.
That was the part about that one where Altuve and his mental gaffes on the base paths as a runner, it's like, often they're very bad, but we excuse him because he's so good as a hitter. But in left field, when all you have to do is pick up the ball and throw it in and you don't do it, that's the kind of stuff that'll lose you a game. That in that instance, it put a couple runners in scoring position, if I remember correctly. I don't know how long our patience is going to be for this if he continues to make these mistakes. That one from a couple weeks ago, it might not have been an error because it was windy that day and what have you, but he missed it so badly. The wind didn't matter when it comes to the timing of the jump.
Yeah.
The wind matters with the location of the ball and where you jump. He jumped a full quarter second too early. He was descending as the ball hit the wall.
Yeah, whatever the weather report is or whatever the scorekeeper says, whether it's an error or not, I'm just watching some of these things. I'm going, this guy does not look even close to he doesn't look like a minor league left fielder. You know what I mean? He looks like somebody who's never played it before. Yeah. And I don't know, like, is Jose Altuve a freak enough athlete to where you're like, well, we just got to let him learn? Cam Smith is more of a guy I've got the stomach to let him learn it, because that dude is freaky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's 6'4", and he's an athletic freak. Jose Altuve's 35 years old. And whatever he was doing at second base, while it wasn't up to snuff compared to other major league second basemen, it didn't look like this has looked in the outfield here in spring training. I don't know. Maybe it's something that he works it out. There have been other plays where you go, okay, maybe he's starting to get it out there. But some of these errors he's making out there, these are the errors that lose you games. You know, when you mistime a jump and a guy winds up on third who wouldn't have otherwise been on base, that loses you a game. When you got a guy tagging up at third, and not only do you have a weak arm that probably wouldn't throw him out anyways, but it's bouncing off your glove and rolling into foul territory, and now not only are you not getting outs, but you're putting other guys on base, you're allowing guys to score. The errors that get made in the outfield are massive variance errors. You know what I mean?
I guess that's the part with Cam Smith, though, too, that You can't get fooled by his physique. He looks like Andre Johnson, but he does not have nearly Andre Johnson's speed. And he's still been working on things like his running mechanics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's a part of him in right field where I don't think that's going to be nearly as simple as you want to believe based on just looking at the guy and how physically impressive he is. So the outfield, I mean, we knew the outfield was going to be a mess offensively if it remained as is.
Mm-hmm.
Now it could end up being a mess defensively. And before you go saying, hey, left fielders don't get that many balls hit to them, or how bad could you be in right field? when you compound it and you're making really bad errors, yeah. that adds up to losses once or twice a week if you're making errors this bad from both the left and right corner field.
Oh yeah, those are errors that add runs to games out there, man. Like directly. So let's get to the good stuff. Lance McCullers looked good. 13 pitches. He did hit a batter. He hit 93 miles an hour on the gun. So everybody seems real happy. Lance did an interview from the dugout after in the second or third inning, and he was asked how to feel to be back out there.
What's up, guys? Now good. Obviously had my fair share of backfield lives, so trying to get over the nerves a little bit, seeing hitters. But yeah, you know, getting into the stadium kind of the first time. No favors with the night game. Was wide awake 5:30 this morning, so I've had to wait a long day, but really great to just, you know, kind of be back out here with the guys as a you know, actual player.
All right. Yeah, you can only watch Braveheart so many times during the day to get ready for your game. You know,
true.
you gotta mix in, you gotta alternate Braveheart and Gladiator, mm-hmm. and then throw maybe 300 in there.
Maybe,
but at some point you gotta try to get your mind off the game.
It's one of the Rocky movies, maybe. Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't think Rocky is that. You know why? I don't think Rocky is as popular a movie for getting ready for a football game or a baseball.
Maybe.
I look at Lance like a football player a little bit because there's not as much constant fighting.
Yeah, you're
Gladiator,
right.
Gladiator, Braveheart, and everything, every 10 minutes or so,
there's
you get
a
good battle. Yeah,
there's a battle. You just, I think, just splice out the training montages for Rocky, maybe. Like the last couple rounds of each fight, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe just to splice together.
That's a pet peeve of mine, by the way.
Yeah.
It's very important that we get to this, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
In any kind of TV show or movie, when somebody all of a sudden finds out they're going to be in a fight and they have to train for it.
Yeah.
And they find out, it's like 4 days from now. And then they commence a 12-hour-a-day training regimen. It's like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to really improve. You're just going to fatigue yourself.
Rocky.
You gotta work on technique more than anything else at this point.
Rocky, horrible.
Come on, Hollywood, get it together.
Horrible load manager, Rocky Balboa.
Rocky was all right. It just made me think of other ones where they try to do a Rocky-type routine or regimen.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, you're not going to build up the endurance marathon in the course of 3 days.
I'm glad we had this talk.
This is very important that we get to this.
That was very highly important.
I've been keeping it in for 10 years now.
here's Lance McCullers. Basically asked to assess, what did you see out there from yourself?
Honestly, man, the only thing I didn't want to happen was have to get pulled because I threw like too many pitches. So I started 3-0 and I was like, oh, no. But, you know, overall, I was just kind of looking to get back into it, and kind of have an overall clean outing. You know, had some soft contact on the ground, you know, didn't get any strikeouts, so I'll have to wait for the next one. But overall, you know, really happy just with everything and kind of the way my body felt. Was really happy with the warm-up, too, and the bullpen, and we timed it out well. So that big win for me today.
I like that cut, Seth, because you asked me yesterday, what do I want to see from Lance McCullers? And one of the things I said was efficiency.
Efficiency. And Lance is a guy that pretty routinely gets himself into pickles early on and then battles his way out. So that one inning was a little bit of a microcosm of Lance when he's pitching really well.
When he went
run up a 3-0 count, work your way out of it. There we go. Okay.
On the very first hitter, he goes 3-0. I was out watching it with Amy yesterday. We were out watching the game, and he goes 3-0 on the first hitter. I'm like, this is not efficient. Not efficient at all, I say. But he bounced back, man. 13 pitch, first inning. Hit a guy, not optimal, but he kind of weaseled his way out of that, got a force play at second base, and then got out of the inning. So that was good. I'm curious what people think about that. The reaction that I generally saw to Lance McCullers, and it makes me a little bit sad to see it, is there's a lot of people, and granted, it's the reaction I'm seeing is on Twitter, so that it's skewed negative. Yes. But the reaction was, why are people getting excited about this? He's just going to get hurt at some point anyways. And I'm like, why can't you allow yourself to at least enjoy the ride a little bit.
Yeah, you're the guy that's like, oh, you lost a couple pounds, huh? Well, you're just going to gain it back anyway,
correct,
you fat SOB.
That's that person. That's,
people hate you for a reason, okay,
mm-hmm.
if you're that guy.
Yep.
All right?
That's why.
This is sports radio. We're all about positivity.
Yeah, what am I saying? I've got so much pettiness in the rundown today, and I'm like, why can't y'all be more positive?
Why can't people only be negative when I'm negative and positive when I'm positive?
Yeah. To that point, coming up next, it seems like people are bailing on the Texans a little bit right now.
What the hell? Why can they not be positive?
Not locally, although some are locally, but nationally, I think there's a lot of people that are downgrading the Houston Texans based on the last week or so. I'll tell you why I feel pretty good about that, and we'll do that coming up next.
Live from the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, you know what? If you don't want to be on the Texans bandwagon, national media, screw you. Don't be on the bandwagon. Power rankings on NFL.com came out, and the headline, the gall of these people. The headline, as soon as it comes up here, my slow browser is hurting me in this moment.
The actual headline included Texans tumble.
Yes, it says Bears Niners rise after early moves, Texans tumble. And they tumbled, yes. Tumbled, Seth, all the way to 14th in these NFL.com rankings.
I am enjoying this too, if only because, as we knew last year, You always got to be a little bit nervous when you get a lot of credit for winning free agency. Because more times than not, winning free agency doesn't actually pay off in the regular season. But it's fun because it's names that you know and recognize. And we knew that. And even as we would say it, people would annoyingly point out, hey, I could say, listen, winning free agency doesn't usually pay out. And then we'd get 7 texts. Well, Seth, you know, winning free agency doesn't really prove anything. I know. I get it. I get it.
You said that. Yes, exactly.
And yet, it's hard not to get excited and wrapped up in the promise of these 3 incredible wide receivers you're going to have on the field at one time in the addition of Joe Mixon. And, of course, C.J. Stroud will build on his rookie year. Sophomore slump? That's a myth.
Yeah.
And then the Texans go and have one of the worst offensive line performances really in the history of mankind. Ever since they started playing American football in ancient Greece, there's never been a performance as bad as that offensive line performance.
As far as I'm concerned, you're 100% right on that. And that's the ironic thing about last year is I would submit that they did win free agency. You know, compared to how free agency normally goes, if we're going to throw Mixon and Diggs into that same stew of moves, I know they technically weren't free agents, but they were big moves made. Like the Danielle Hunter move was amazing. Azeez Al-Shaair, when he was on the field, was really good. Joe Mixon was excellent. He was really like I would say hits without, and misses, you know.
Without that free agency, there's a very good chance the Texans miss the postseason.
Yes,
because Joe Mixon alone would every time he had a 100 plus yard game, it was almost all Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
With very little assistance from the offensive line.
Yeah, free agency in the offseason I thought were a net positive last year for the Texans. Now I don't know what it's going to look like this year because they still haven't made the ultimate moves to, I think, backfill. I don't think this offensive line is exactly what they want it to look like. I think it's going to be better even without Laremy Tunsil because it couldn't be worse than it was last year.
Well, and I think the two teams that I'm a little bit jealous of and being short-sighted and wanting to win free agency are the Vikings and the Bears, who had the exact offseason that Texans fans would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, offensive line was an issue. Let's just go out and get some bona fide dudes that we can plug in immediately. Yeah. And the Vikings and the Bears were very aggressive in that regard. I would expect at least one of those situations to not work out.
Sure.
And it's most likely the Bears. There's just still too much that it was. You could point to the quarterback himself as being a problem in pass protection, as well as the offensive line. I think for the Vikings, there's a good chance it works out.
The math almost doesn't allow both of them to work out because they're in the same division, and the other two teams are the Packers and the Lions, who are both good. You know, like it's one of those teams is going to be disappointed with how the whole thing ends up. So the Texans are 14th in this NFL.com power rankings. Here's the thing: this is the ultimate insulation for the Texans. Because normally, I think they might have been eighth or whatever after the season because they were one of the last 8 teams standing. So they tumble, air quotes, 6 spots in this subjective power ranking. The ultimate insulation for the Texans from a complete collapse of any sort, at least right now, famous last words, right? But this is how I feel. Colts 23, Jags 30, Titans 32. The other 3 teams in the division are in the... Well, 2 of them are in the bottom quartile, and then the Colts are in the bottom quartile of the 3rd quartile. Yeah,
I look at the AFC South as my old and trusty sidearm. That's what's going to bail me out when my machine gun fails me, when I've lost my knife. I've got my old Colt 45s, never misfired on me once. Yeah.
Seth spinning the shaft there.
Just shiny bullets in the each chamber.
Hop along, pain. So the AFC South does not do well. The best team is 14th, and the other three are 23 or lower in these rankings. You know, and I'm being serious about this. After last year, like, I'm kind of cool. It's not maybe what's best for business, and it's not maybe what's best for buzz around training camp, but I kind of like the Texans lurking a little bit more this year going into the season than being the bell of the ball.
You know what? I think with some of the younger players on the team, and I think C.J. Stroud would include himself in this, they needed to be taught a lesson about exactly what it is to win in the NFL and how hard it is. Because CJ said it at the end of the season that he thought he knew, but he didn't know about what it really took to be a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I think there will be a hard-earned humility and an understanding of exactly how hard it is to be average. And it's not that your goals or aspirations are to be average, but you talk to any great NFL coach, after they win a Super Bowl like Andy Reid or Bill Belichick, they would say this constantly. You don't get to just pick right up where you left off. Mm-hmm. You got to build a brand new football team again. And first and foremost, get to be competent with the simple stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to work on the highfalutin, high-flying air show and all that. So I think it's going to be good for a lot of those guys. When it comes to how people are looking at the Texans, I think that the Laremy Tunsil trade was huge for the perception of the Texans right now because so many people, and it makes sense. I concede that it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You take a team that was really bad at pass protection, you get rid of by far your best pass protector, and they're wondering how on earth could you expect them to be any different this year? And the difference would be that you actually get, yes, you get a minus in pass protection from Laremy Tunsil, but if you can just get competent play out of five offensive linemen in both the run and pass game, so that's 10. Let's say 10, 5 in the pass game, 5 in the run game.
Right.
Last year on the offensive line, out of those 10 possible improvement points, you had one of those 10 things working.
Yep.
And it was that Laremy Tunsil was good as a pass protector.
Yep.
Not above average as a run blocker. I just want to get 5 competent performances in both the run and the pass, and they can be better. They can be a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with CJ with one more year under his belt. No question. All right, so which of these teams, Seth, if the Texans were, say, the 8th best team at the end of the season last year, you know, they were, you know, considered, I would guess they were considered among the losers in the divisional round. They were considered probably the, you know, the least or second least of those. Yeah, you had Baltimore losing in that round, other teams. Of the teams 9 through 13 in front of the Texans, which one offends you the most as a Texan fan?
The Chargers by far.
Okay, here
the Chargers. Chargers who got just destroyed and shellacked.
Let me lay out who the teams are for the audience so they can hear and maybe they play along. 9th, Tampa Bay. 10th, the Rams. 11th, the Bengals, who might not have a defense this year. 12, the Denver Broncos. And yes, as you point out, Seth, 13th and a 32-12 loser to the Texans. I believe that was the score.
I'm mildly offended by the Bucs being as high as they are just because Chris Godwin is coming off yet another injury. And I love Chris Godwin. I love what they got brewing. But Baker Mayfield somehow has the glow of a young quarterback with promise at this point in his career, and he's done it with a couple of stud wide receivers in a weak division. So I'm offended that they're as high as
Baker's
they are.
Baker is in his 8th season now.
He's a young guy, Sean, who's finally figured it out.
He's coming up on
with
a
the
decade.
Help of a couple of really awesome wide receivers.
Yeah.
They lose Liam Cohen too. I don't know how everybody gushes about Liam Cohen and yet acts like, oh, no big deal, Liam Cohen's gone.
That's true.
But then the Chargers continually in all of these rankings are above the Texans. And there, Jim Harbaugh is getting a little bit of the treatment of, hey, this young football coach seems to really know what he's doing.
Whippersnapper.
And he's going to extract the maximum out of Justin Herbert. I don't know. I saw an entire season of Jim Harbaugh with Justin Herbert, and sure, it looks promising. Justin Herbert looked like Justin Herbert at the end of the game, at the end of the year. Yeah. Got destroyed by the Texans.
They played a real defense, exactly.
Bah humbug to you putting them above the Texans.
I'm with you on that, yes.
They lost, sneaky, too. They lost Puna Ford, the defensive tackle, who was maybe one of the only good things that they had going versus the Texans. Ford's been kind of up and down, and you never know quite what to figure out about him, but I just love his name so much, and I'll acknowledge that, hey, he was one of the few good players versus the Texans, and they lost him. So that's extra insult.
Everybody loves Puna. Puna Ford, yes.
Oh, can't get enough Puna.
Can't get enough Puna. Actually, I'm looking here. So the Texans were actually 10th in these power rankings the last iteration. Last time. So they dropped four since trading Laremy Tunsil. Yeah, here's what they say about the Texans in here. The trade of Tunsil to Washington was not something I anticipated, considering C.J. Stroud took 52 sacks last year.
I'll give them a ding for the good points they made.
Yep. Right now, the plan would appear to be kicking Titus Howard out to left tackle and playing Blake Fisher at right tackle. The Texans could also flip those two, and they're still...
When they mentioned the flipping of it, that's valid.
And there's still the draft left with which to add a potential tackle starter.
Or guard.
Though picking 25th makes the chore tougher. Or guard, right. Houston could move up six or seven spots in round one by potentially dealing its extra third-round pick that it got in the Tunsil trade. Then again, the Texans are a bit lean on draft picks overall. Big picture, even taking into account Christian Kirk and C.J. Gardner-Johnson coming in, this offseason has been a bit of a comedown after last year's spending spree. And yeah, like in terms of the... We know this as well as anybody sitting in the chairs we do. This has not been nearly as buzzworthy a session of free agency or trades as last year was. And we didn't expect it to be. They didn't have $70 million or whatever they had in cap space last year. The bigger buzz moves have been trading Tunsil and extending Derek Stingley Jr. So, I look at the Texans and say, man, I feel like they're four or five spots in the NFL worse than they were last year? I don't right now because I know they're not done yet. There's more moves to be made.
I'm 100%. I 100% get. There was an annoyingly large number of dings in there.
Yeah.
But they did exclude a few things, I think. One of which is that they could easily add another guard at some point via trade or a tackle via trade. I was listening to John Harris last night, and he pointed out how unexpected and kind of out of nowhere the Stephon Diggs trade was.
Yeah.
And that's the type of move that I wouldn't be surprised by, is if they trade for an offensive lineman at some point between now and training camp. And, you know, Jonathan Alexander had tweeted out, and I'd give him a ding for this. He says that it's unlikely the Texans will sign another starter in free agency, a person with knowledge of the Texans' thinking said, as Houston believes it can fill important needs in the draft.
Yes.
I give him a ding for that.
Good job,
but
Jonathan.
I would also add, in free agency, probably not. There are still a couple of viable guards out there. Mm-hmm. But I think after the draft, when teams assess their situation, they might be ready to let go of a veteran offensive lineman.
Yeah. Again, the Stephon Diggs trade was executed with an extra second-round pick they had picked up just a few weeks before that. They've got an extra second-round pick next year from the Tunsil trade. I mean, they've got draft capital to go do things that could qualify, I think, is like you said, the Diggs trade kind of came out of nowhere. They've got the draft capital to make a deal like that if they want to. Text messages about this on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Good morning, guys. Wow. Sounds like national media is still blinded by the Tunsil trade, which we think is a very good deal for the Texans. Now, there's some out there that don't think it's a great deal, like the very next texter. Our offense is worse, that's for damn sure, and we aren't getting three starting quality O-linemen in the draft. It's honestly stupid.
Ah, stupid.
The S word.
Ooh. Save his number. So we need to either, at the end of the, midway through the season, we either have to congratulate him for having the accurate take or totally destroy him for saying it was stupid.
Yeah.
Because it's stupid.
Yeah.
Because remember, this is the part that we're prisoners of the moment. We don't know exactly what the offensive line is going to look like come September. There's still the draft. At this point, I'd be almost surprised if they don't take an offensive lineman in the first round.
Yes,
I know. I do think they're going to try to take best player available, but we know with Nick, he can maneuver himself to where he feels like, all right, we've got a shot at the best player available being an offensive lineman at this point.
Yep.
And then again, they could trade for a veteran at some point. The huge X factor is simply, is Nick Caley a good offensive coordinator?
Right.
That's what's gone unmentioned in a lot of these offseason assessments, is that Nick Caley, who has zero stats attached to him as an offensive coordinator, we don't have a clue about whether or not he's going to be good.
Yep.
And when I tell you, if they could just get five average offensive line performances out of five guys, they will be light years ahead of where they were last year with Laremy Tunsil as their left tackle.
Yep.
Especially in the run game, where Laremy Tunsil is not impressive in the run game. So that's all on Nick Caley, really. It's whatever moves that Caserio makes. But Slowik just didn't know what he was doing in the run game.
All right, as of today, I am starting a document that is merely entitled Receipts. And okay, I'm going to take some of the texts. It's got to be pretty heavy to get onto the doc. This guy saying it's stupid is
right,
what got him on here.
And we will. And we'll be honest about this.
Yeah.
You guys know us. Sean and I are very transparent typically. We'll admit when we are wrong, et cetera, et cetera. I've admitted I was wrong and given credit to guys who the one guy who hated me because I felt like I wasn't giving Jarrett Patterson enough credit during last year's training camp. I've apologized to him multiple times.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I don't have his number, though, because we didn't have a Google Doc at that point.
So I'm going to put together a doc here, Seth, where we have the people's numbers and we have their takes.
Yeah.
But if it's bad, it's bad for you. We're coming back after you, just so you know. We're showing up on your front door with the receipt saying, we'd like to return this here.
We're not going to dox you. We're not going to put your number out there to the masses.
No.
Unless you insult me personally.
We will not do that. Right. Unless you dox us first. I guess we're public figures. We've been doxed already. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. So the receipts document is open, and I'm transcribing your texts, good sir. Headlines coming up next. We talked about the Astros. We'll talk about them again. Big day for Lance McCullers yesterday. Texans make the Stingley deal official. Rockets in Orlando tonight. Vanessa Richardson is going to join us at 9 o'clock on the show today. Yes, Rocket Sideline.
She's a breath of fresh air. I'm tired of talking to you. I'll
friend
you
of the show. I know. She's pleasant to talk to. We'll talk to her at 9 a.m. today. We'll talk some Rockets basketball with Vanessa Richardson later on. Headlines coming up next.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. The Astros yesterday, I think they lost. I don't really care about the final score of that game. The big story from the game was Lance McCullers back on the mound for the first time since Game 3 of the 2022 World Series, where he was basically out there like a pitching machine set at Little League levels.
Which he was, and he was doing for the good of the team. In other situations, they would have pulled him, but He gave up his performance for the sake of just preserving everybody else.
Yes.
And that really from that moment on, it was probably one of the more encouraging and pivotal awful performances, because you knew that the Phillies didn't stack up pitching wise after that.
Yeah.
The Astros were able to just mow through them with their pitchers.
Javier
went good job sucking in the World Series.
He made them overconfident because the very next game, Christian Javier no hit them. Well, Javier and a handful of other guys. Yeah. So, yeah. So, good job in 2022. Good job yesterday, too, in spring training. Lance McCullers, for what he, you know, for what he was asked to do, he pitched one inning. He started the game, pitched a scoreless inning, threw 13 pitches. So, he got in and out of there pretty quick. No strikeouts or anything. He did hit a batter. He hit 93 on the gun. I would imagine, and Lance himself said, a lot of nerves here. In fact, as McCullers, how did it feel to be back out there?
Good. You know, obviously, I've had my fair share of backfield lives, so trying to get over the nerves a little bit, seeing hitters. But yeah, you know, being in the stadium kind of the first time, no favors with the night game. Was wide awake, 5:30 this morning. So I've had to wait a long day, but really great to just, you know, kind of be back out here with the guys as a you know, actual player.
So that was good to see yesterday.
Yeah, no, I know you had wanted to see an efficient performance, mm-hmm. which that was, especially starting off with a 3-0 count.
Yes.
But then you also wanted to see him hit 95 on the
gun. He didn't hit 95, he only hit 93, but I'm willing to overlook that because he just, you know, he looked okay. Yeah, he looked good.
And I'd actually be more nervous if he came out throwing 95 right off the bat.
Yeah.
That, let's ease our way into this like an old man getting into a sauna. You know, yes. it's just No, easy as she does it, Lance. We don't have to win the Cy Young in your first performance, okay?
Old man getting into a sauna.
Yeah.
Lance leaves the mound, he comes back out to the dugout with a white towel wrapped around his waist, blow drying all the hair on the various parts of his body. I know.
They're just like, screw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you know what I got.
Blow drying his junk in the dugout. Yeah. So that was good to see. Hey, Luis Garcia. Throwing a live BP on Thursday this week. He's a little behind Lance.
Yep.
But Luis Garcia kind of working his way under the radar also here.
It's got to be. I know this isn't the way things work, and yet I choose to believe that it will. Last year you had just such a ridiculous rash of injuries, pitchers included. And that wasn't the excuse. Remember, health wasn't an issue early in the season for the pitchers.
The real
issue was that they just sucked.
Yeah.
The boomerang effect will be nothing but glistening health the entire season long for the pitching staff.
Yes, we have to debate, do we have an 8-man rotation or
I'm
not?
Tired of this 8-man rotation. Yeah. Why have the baseball gods forsaken us?
Why have they given us so many good pitchers that we have to discuss the 8-man rotation? The Texans make it official. Derek Stingley Jr. signs his deal. He is now the highest contract extension in the history of the sport for a cornerback, for any defensive back. 3 years, $90 million. Press conference today, Seth, at 12:30.
Well, that takes care of my YouTube planning. Watching the press conference. That's the easiest and the most fun, and the thing that I probably get the most success out of is just watching and reacting to press conferences.
Do you get the viewership that's pretty good? You get a good viewership pop on those?
Yeah. Which, by the way, you know what I did yesterday that I'm going to start doing more of? I was in the comments during In the Loop. And
they were talking about that yesterday.
Were they?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a nice little chat. Brendan, who follows the draft pretty closely, had some questions for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to do a better job of monitoring the YouTube chat.
Okay,
Sebastian, just now, before I even clicked on the link, says, appreciate the show, fellas. By the way, I've been listening for a long time. Mm-hmm. I just never comment.
Well, thank you,
Sebastian.
And
the first comment I see is Sebastian's, who never comments.
Yeah, and he loves us. Thank you, Sebastian. We appreciate that very much. Yeah, they were talking about that at the end of the show yesterday, Reggie was talking. We had a surprise birthday party for a coworker up here yesterday, Aaron Kapner, who's the MVP of the cluster here. And Reggie said that he felt like you being in the chat. He said he felt like it was like the teacher is watching him do his work, kind of. Like he said, he's a little intimidated, I think, that you were in the chat yesterday during their show.
Oh, Reggie said that?
Reggie was like, man, I kind of felt like the teacher's watching. I forget what his analogy was, but it was definitely an analogy where he felt like, uh-oh, Seth is watching us do our show.
And you know what? I figured that's what was going on because I recognized the same look on Reggie's face that I know you see on my face sometimes, which is he got distracted by something. This is why I don't monitor the text line or the YouTube chat as closely as Sean does, because I get too distracted. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad that I might have been knocking him off his game a little bit.
I couldn't tell. I was listening to the show while you were in there. They sounded fine. But yeah. It was just fun. Reggie's funny, man. All right, so Stingley deal official 12:30 press conference today. Good luck with your YouTube video, Seth. What's your normal length of a YouTube video? Because whatever it is, I would say lop 50% off of that because it's Stingley doing the press conference.
It's one of those, you know the old saying, I'm sorry I wrote you such a long letter, but I didn't have time to write a short one. It's because it's the editing and everything. You never heard that?
No, yeah, I love it, though.
It's probably Mark Twain. It's like, okay, the shorter something is, you tend to spend more time because you're trying to make it concise. I'm trying to do 15 minutes and shorter.
Yeah.
But that, like, that takes planning and kind of editing up some stuff beforehand to show.
Yep.
So with press conferences, I can go 3 hours easy.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to click on that.
No, okay? No.
So I'm trying to keep it to less than 15 minutes. Derek Stingley, the sound bites I get from Derek Stingley, I think will be conducive to that.
He will accommodate you for sure. Rockets in Orlando tonight to face the Magic. 6 o'clock tip off. Vanessa Richardson is going to join us at 9 o'clock on the show today. Rocket sideline reporter. She does a great job on Space City Home Network. Hey, update on Tracy Morgan, Seth. He is okay. According to reports, it was just some food poisoning that had him projectile vomiting at midcourt of the Knicks game a couple of nights ago.
I feel bad. I feel really bad because yesterday, you know, without a lot of foresight or planning, when first hearing about this, I thought, okay, I hope it's not something lingering from his health issues that he had a few years ago.
Yeah, he was on death's door a few years
ago. So it was either that or he was really drunk and he threw up. And the claim is that it's food poisoning. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Isn't that the current Michael Jordan conspiracy theory that the flu game was food poisoning?
A little bit.
I don't know, Tracy. I feel like I think Tracy's old enough now that even if it was because he was drunk, he's probably like, all right, well, maybe it's a bad look, and also, if I can't hold my liquor, that's not a good look either.
Yeah.
So it's not a good look as a role model or a degenerate, so let's call it food poisoning.
I think, from what I could tell, from the picture that was in the People magazine story about this, or People.com, I guess, the picture of Tracy Morgan in his hospital bed with all the electrodes attached to his bare chest,
yeah.
By the look on his face, it would appear, and as a look on face diagnosis doctor, that's what my specialty. I don't think it's anything that's related to the long term health issues or the health issues that he had before. He's either coming back from a hangover with a smile on his face or he did have food poisoning.
It was probably something within the arena, the formerly Staples Arena, I'm guessing. Yeah.
He's at MSG. He was at Madison Square Garden.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
I just got 3,000 miles wrong.
I don't know if that changes the nature of the take or anything, but he was at Madison Square Garden, yeah.
There's a good chance that he ate something from a food stand on the way in.
Yeah. That in New York, that would probably be, yeah, just, I got to get me a hot dog on the way into Madison Square Garden. Give me a gyro, man. All right, 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Oh, this is interesting. You guys have a completely different take on the Texans than Sho and Clint do. Would love a debate. Now, we actually have the audio from something Clint was saying yesterday, right?
We have the audio of Clint, I think, calling you and I out.
Really?
Like basically calling it. I think he doesn't say our names.
Okay.
But I think he's addressing folks like us.
Okay.
And I almost felt like Clint was calling us just idiots. Yeah.
Do we need to discuss
this? That's how I took it.
In the next segment. Okay.
Yeah.
There's your tease. Clint called us idiots. Hashtag Seth C. Payne. All right, so we'll text her. You got what you want. We'll play the audio from the drive yesterday and discuss their view on it and our view on where the Texans are going. Sounds like offensive line problem. I'm guessing a big part of that. And also, in light of the Stingley extension, who are the future second contract guys on this team right now? Like, who are the likely ones? Who are the locks? We'll take a look at that here in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Nice long segment coming up next. Stay there.